I should
mean,
put
shouldn't you put a sock on there? I mean,
do you
that's what
see?
you have before.
I have a new pop filter.
So you don't spit on your mic?
Oh, nice.
No.
Yeah,
it's
no,
not,
I can
it's
I,
not. It's not for that.
Oh, I think because you probably spit when you talk. It's okay. That's why girls don't like
well,
you.
Well, there's a little bit of that, but...
yeah.
But
we know,
pop
we
filters
know.
Are
we've
for air.
We've seen it.
Okay. Thank you, technical wizardry boy.
It's for the air.
It's for the air.
Well,
you
okay.
Dumbass.
You don't have to explain it to us. Let's roll.
Would you like me
to
explain
for,
it
it's
to you?
It's for the air.
Because in air.
Because
air.
I'm going to be airbending,
it's
and I don't want
air.
That to
Fuck.
I don't want
air.
That to blow out my microphone.
Air.
That's
Let's
why.
Not blow it out. All right.
It's for the air.
In the air?
In
air.
The air, ear. Don't say it like that. That's terrible.
It's Flo Rida, bruh.
Flo Rida, bro.
Bruh? No, bruh.
Bruh.
Bruh. B-R-A-H. Bruh.
Bruh. All right.
Bruh.
We are bruh. The brothers, brah, today.
Bruh. We're the brah.
We're the brothers,
bruh.
Geek.
Bruh.
And this is our podcast.
Yeah.
We're the bras, geek.
And what? This is episode 11.
Episode 11.
Bruh.
Yes.
Bruh.
We are bringing it.
We're bringing it strong.
It's been brought in.
What are we? Where?
Wow! Did
where?
You just quote "Bring It On"?
Yep.
Is it Journey?
No, I quoted not
is
another
it a
teen
destination
movie.
Or a journey?
Is it a destination? It's a quest.
What?
This is a quest for awesomeness.
There is no destination. The journey's the thing.
Go get 4 piles of gray wolf poo. And bring it back to me? That's kind of a quest?
Yeah. Tell me that's an actual quest on WoW.
Yes.
Yes.
There is a poo quest.
To obtain excrement.
There is a poo quest.
There is a poo quest.
Oh, my. Are you shitting me right now?
No.
We are not shitting you. Nice cut, Andrew. That's Andrew making the joke. Hi, Andrew. How are you?
Move your mic away from your mouth, Andrew. There you
I got
go.
All kinds of jokes.
Yeah, he does.
There you, go.
You have a little pop filter in your microphone.
Little
one. Not enough.
Not
for
enough
to...
for
mine.
You got so much air, as we were talking about.
Yep.
You're pushing out so much air that
so
you need to move
air.
It. Move it away from your mouth.
And it's all hot.
Your blow. Move it away from your blow.
Your
hole.
My blowhole. Jesus. Wow, we're off to a great start.
Yeah,
so,
we're cooking gas.
We are geeks, and we talk about different stuff and
yes,
all kinds
shows and comics and
My
video
God.
Games and all
no
kinds
idea.
Of that. If this is your first time listening, that's what we do here.
If this is your first time listening, what have you been waiting around for?
Your life has been empty till today.
Seriously.
So today
you got 10 episodes of homework to do.
Listening to this, if you're listening to this in your car, pull over because your mind is going to be blown.
You're going
to
want
to
be
no longer able
to
control your vehicle.
You know,
yep.
Some of those past episodes, I think we have like really good conversations. Like the ones about the cons, I feel like those are our best conversations. Like the last one,
Every
conversation's good, right? It has its own merits.
What are you talking about?
I know.
Christopher doesn't lack any confidence in our podcasting abilities. It's awesome.
Why are you critiquing?
No, I'm just saying. We're talking
you,
about
he's particularly
looking
proud of them.
I'm particularly proud of those episodes. Yes,
wow.
Thank you.
So assaultive, Jesus. Christopher.
Yes, he
I'm
is.
Assaultive?
Assaultive. I said it.
What word was that?
It's a word I just came up with.
Because I'm an English major.
He went to college.
Creative
writing.
Went to college.
Son of a bitch.
Okay, let's...
creative writer.
Yep.
This is ridiculous. I apologize to the listeners.
Don't apologize. This is what it is.
See, you're a freaking killjoy is what you are.
Killjoy?
What the hell, dude?
All right, fine. Never
we're not
mind.
Supposed to, okay.
Let's
this
be
is
ridiculous.
The no fun podcast.
This is the no fun.
I'm done having fun.
Zero fun podcast.
I'm just saying have fun and have a point to it. Because what you're doing right now is pointless.
Wow.
He looks angry. Is he frozen? Or is that just...
No, he's not frozen. That's just his face.
That's just his face.
That's just his face. He pissed him off, and now he's going to throw a little bit
Let's
of
get
a...
on with this.
I don't know if you know this, listeners, news? But Christopher is extremely angry looking sometimes. He has a you have like a bitchy rest face. You're like you look
a
you
rest
like your resting face is like angry. Like
Oh my god. That was great.
Thank you.
Patrick, that's you just described. There's so much. There are so many layers in that, dude. It's so true. Oh my god!
Like you just look that's, like
the,
you're not
the psychological
angry.
Insight buried in that statement. Yes. Is yikes! And we're not gonna go there because that's a 3-day podcast.
Okay. We will never finish. All right.
Yeah.
So. Since we're having so much fun, I'm going to kill Joy.
Hold on.
I got to
stop having fun.
Yeah, we need to stop having fun because I have some serious news to report. Robin Williams died a couple days ago. Yes, and I think we should just discuss him a little bit because he's had such an impact in film and TV. And
Mork and Mindy, dude. Mork original and Mindy. Geek, like, personified. Right. Total fish out of water. Mm-hmm. Total, like, I mean, yeah.
A little
bit
of science fiction thrown in there.
I grew up. Yeah, I grew up watching that show. So
totally.
And everything.
I've seen one episode of Mork and Mindy.
I've definitely seen Mork and Mindy.
I've not seen an episode.
It's pretty silly. It's very 70s.
That's dated now, but
yeah, it's dated. But that's where we got to start. And
well, we got to talk about our favorite. I think we just talk about our favorite Robin Williams memory or scene or movie or what.
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, there's so many that he was so good in. I mean, for me, I would say like Hook had a big part of. I really loved Hook a lot
Hook over the last couple days.
Hook is not a great movie.
It's not a good movie.
But I love Robin Williams in that movie. It's very enjoyable to watch.
There are moments to that movie
because
that
of
are...
him. Because of him.
Yeah.
He's too I didn't like that movie that necessarily cuz he was too tightly wound. He didn't do tightly wound very well. He does the free sort of Peter Pan well.
Right.
That's his personality. But the chemistry wasn't great. They were trying. It should have been awesome. They had, you know, it was an all-star movie, right? You know, Julia Roberts and
Dustin Hoffman playing Hook.
Who played Hook's? That guy plays Hook. Bob Hoskins. Yeah, he's
Hoskins.
Awesome too.
Oh, played Shvi. And it was directed. It was directed by Steven Spielberg.
John Williams.
Come
John
on,
Williams score. Yeah. That's one of the best scores, like,
So Hook is your what immediately comes to mind?
Well, I mean, in that and, like, his serious role in Good Will Hunting, I thought he was great.
Sure.
That's what he won the Academy Award for, right? Like, yes. Good Will Hunting?
Mine is, there's no, it's easy for me. It's Dead Poets Society.
See, that one's great, too. Jeez.
Yeah, that's that movie and his role in that movie and, you know, his part that he played in that movie. Because there were moments of sort of insight into manic Robin Williams, but at the same time, he just did such a good job of conveying sort of all of that, what's right about teaching people and and communicating that love of literature and poetry and knowledge and pursuit and the freedom to be yourself and, you know, all of that stuff wrapped up into sort of his performance and the whole sort of message of the movie. That's definitely my top Robin Williams.
Can't beat that. That's totally
Good Will Hunting is a close second.
Oh yeah,
Dead Poets Society is absolutely.
I think he got nominated for Best Actor for that movie. I think he lost, of course, but I'm almost certain he got nominated for Best Actor.
I don't remember, but I wouldn't.
Great.
Andrew? I obviously Hook because it came out right when I was a kid, and you know the scene that always and it's not a great movie. The moment in Hook at the banquet table when they start insulting each other. I used to know that scene word for word, you know. But the Robin Williams movie that always stands out for me.
You man, you stupid man.
Well, it's Aladdin, honestly. I mean, he was the voice of the genie. It's just the incredible kind of voice performance, and the fact that there's huge. All the different characters that he played. I remember watching an interview he did once, and they added it up, and there was just dozens and dozens of different characters that he, you know, played in that
voices,
movie.
Yeah.
All the different voices, and you know, how he can go from, you know, the character being this, you know, extraordinarily powerful magic being who exists kind of outside of time, so he has a knowledge of all of creation, and he can pull on all of that.
Right.
It's just that nobody else could have done anything.
Cosmic power.
Well,
and the nature of that process was they just let him go, and then they animated to that, to his performance.
Yeah.
So, they gave him an outline.
16 hours of
they gave him an outline
material.
Of sort of here's the thing, and just run with it.
Yeah,
And then they animated to all of the best bits.
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh.
Fantastic.
So just a talent, and, I mean, I'm really sad that he's, you know, that we can't enjoy him, you know, anymore.
Depression, and addiction.
Yeah.
And those combinations are so real, and those are so sort of serious, and it doesn't matter oftentimes how much help you're getting or how much people love you around you. Mm-hmm. The challenge is always
feeling
there.
It's
about getting help, about getting clinical help, about reaching out. And even then, if you're doing that, sometimes it's just David Foster Wallace is another prime example of depression sort of taking a great artist far, far too soon from mm-hmm. This world.
This happens a lot. I always like equate it to like the star that burns the brightest kind of a thing. You know, like he was just so much of a character, so much like just in it, and he just burnt out, man. Wow. Like I mean, Chris Farley. Chris Farley is like that kind of thing. Like, I mean, he drank himself to death. I mean, it's different to like
his appetites. Yeah, mm-hmm. everyone.
Yeah, that was the addiction side of things. But you can't. I mean, there's got to be some depression wrapped up in that because you can't be happy about yourself.
Yeah,
you know, mm-hmm. if you're doing that to yourself, well, you just can't.
It always reminds me of the comment. I mean, and it's a totally different situation when it came to Heath Ledger, but it always reminds me of the comment that I mean, that was an accident. I mean, he was kind of troubled and how he became the Joker and all that. I mean, the people talk about how deeply he went into the psychology of that character, and he couldn't sleep and everything else. And, everything points to the fact that it wasn't an accident. There was an accident, but how from a viewer point of view, from an audience point of view, and we said it when we went and saw The Dark Knight for the first time, and we saw what he did to become the Joker and become that indelible, all-time amazing character, not only in comic book movies, but all movies.
Yeah, but that's a totally different
situation. Oh, no, my comment being is we'll never – the truly disappointing part for an audience point of view is that we'll never be able to see – them do anything like that again. Mm-hmm. You know, we won't be able to see them make any more art. I mean, it's the true tragedy is what happened to their, you know, their families and the people who are closest to them and love them and, you know, those people who had that tangible, immediate connection. But I mean, from an audience member, we'll never be able to get to appreciate them again and appreciate their art again. And
the laughter and the joy that he brought to people for his whole career. Yeah. I mean, you know, you have that'll be preserved certainly forever, but it's just no question. It's a tragedy that he's taken it. You know, 63.
I watched Jumanji yesterday because it was on Netflix, and I enjoyed that. You know, it was a fun movie when I was kind of young, and I wish for a while they have Hook on. They have Hook on Netflix also, so you can watch that. But I wish they had Dead Poets Society.
Oh, yeah. And I think I might have that on DVD somewhere.
The movie that I need to watch again, because the first time I watched it, I was far younger and didn't pay close enough attention, was The Fisher King.
Oh, yeah.
I've never actually seen that movie.
I need to watch that again.
That's on Netflix, too. That's
complex. There's a lot going on in that movie, and, and he's terrific in that, and I need to watch that again.
Well, he's kind of like unstable and stuff in Fisher King, right?
He plays a kind of a crazy homeless person in that movie, doesn't he?
Yes, he's very troubled.
Yeah. You know what's people forget? He plays Teddy Roosevelt in the Night at the Museum movies.
Oh, yeah.
He's always great.
Well,
in those scenes, is Teddy Roosevelt.
They're making another one where they go to like London or whatever, and he's in it. I mean, they haven't. They just released some trailers for that, so it's kind of like. I mean, he's filmed some movies, and he's got the last hurrah of like movies that will come out.
Yeah, I think they said he's got 4 movies that are still due to come out.
Oh, wow.
So he's got 4 movies that he made that are still due to be released in the next couple years.
All right, well, I mean, hopefully those are good, and, you know, hopefully, like, we can appreciate his roles in them. And
exactly.
Yeah,
well, he'll certainly be missed.
Definitely, absolutely, for that.
All right, well, let's go to something a little less sad, I guess.
Yeah,
let's go to a scene.
Let's cut things up.
Let's move on to our scene for the.
I don't know how much more energetic we'll get if we start talking about The Leftovers.
Yes,
energetic scene stuff. Yes, I was thinking about this today about how all the shows that I watch. Most of the shows that I watch are such downers. It's like, what is going on? It's like all this death and depression and just
angst.
Everyone is
that's
just
what's been
so
going
down.
On. That's what's been going on in television lately. Think about it, like Breaking Bad, Walking Dead, The Leftovers. Like all these shows are depressing.
It just makes me want to watch. My Little Pony: Friendship is Magic.
Yes, you're brony.
I think we just cleanse. It's like
a palate cleanser. It's like a palate cleanser for my frontal lobe.
I do need something fun. I agree with that.
And I did find something that I am working my way through. Cora.
Nice.
I just finished season 1.
Okay.
Of Cora.
What do you think?
And that is not. I mean that is there's drama,
right.
But it is not dark. It is.
Nope. Fun,
there is,
interesting.
There is,
yeah,
exactly. All those things. It is fun and interesting world, and I love that world, and I love the world building that they did. That those stories are in.
Season one conflict is really good. I think
really
good.
I thought
it was fantastic.
Overarching conflict with Amon and the bloodbending and all of that kind of stuff. Really terrific stuff. So,
well, you're making me bring this up. Like, I didn't even think about this, but like Nickelodeon completely took.
Yeah, I saw that. They're not airing the final episodes on the TV channel. They are putting them only on the website. Right.
This worried me a little bit, but because when they were doing this, they just overhauled Nickelodeon's website. So, like, when you go watch the videos on their website, they actually look a lot better. They've definitely, like,
are they in HD on
the website? They're in HD, and they're like, they've switched it to like HTML5. So these are
I haven't looked on the website. Season 2 on the website?
They took it off for a while. But they keep posting that they are adding more episodes, so they might have put season 2 back on.
You can buy it on Amazon.
Right.
Yeah, Amazon. And I think I'm going to – if I can't find it on Nickelodeon, I'm going to buy it on Amazon.
Season 2, I think, just to prepare –
via Xbox One.
Excellent, excellent. Season 2 as a whole, I think, is not as good as 1 or 3, but there's parts of 2 that are really good. Like, there's singular episodes that are really good.
I started watching 2. I remember I was watching 2 when it first came out, and then it sort of lost steam, and it lost interest. they really didn't have a solid through line, and you couldn't really tell sort of where are we going with all of this.
Right. It gets better, so, like the Avatar flashbacks and like.
Well, Nickelodeon screwed that up because I never knew when it was freaking on. I mean, it was when it was first airing. It was like really difficult to actually find it. So. And that was probably just at the cusp of when we were doing DVR became the ubiquitous thing to have. So
that's a fact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, they're wondering like this show has such a cult following still, and people are going to go look for it. You know, the people will have to watch it online. A lot of people already were. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that they keep going. Or if Nickelodeon doesn't want to keep going with this, that it gets picked up by like Netflix or something, you know, and it just is like a show that they can make for a Netflix original.
Netflix seems to be the place.
Shows continue their life.
Yeah,
when they get
and
canceled.
They don't miss a beat in terms of quality or
talk about Netflix a little bit. They've obviously been moving into the original programming idea, and they've got Orange is the New Black, and they've got other shows that are just, House of Cards that are as good as anything on HBO or network television. But in terms of what we're primarily concerned with, Netflix is going to have – they've partnered with Marvel. They're going to produce Daredevil TV show in the next – who's cast as Daredevil, but a character from True Blood, the actress who plays the baby vamp Jessica, she was cast on the show. So as soon as she's done, I don't know if they're shooting right now, but she's going to have a character.
She's
going to
be
Daredevil.
Like love interest, or are they going to do her as? Like,
I don't know. I haven't investigated the show.
Are they
going
to do her as Elektra?
I don't think so.
Oh, that would be crazy.
I don't know. Well, I would rather Elektra come in later and they just spend time working up the Matt Murdock character.
Because
he's a great character.
Yeah.
And they need to work
Matt
on him.
The Ben Affleck, awfulness.
Shitstorm.
Didn't live up to the Daredevil character because it needs to be dark, it needs to be gritty, it needs to be, like, this cool, he has such a cool power, but he's, he's got a cool power, but he's also limited because he can't see. So there's so much you could do with that. Oh my god!
And he's a fighter,
right?
He is a trained acrobat and martial artist, but he is his dad was a boxer and he was brought up in the roughest part of New York. You know, he's brought up in Hell's Kitchen. He needs to have that kind of bare knuckle kind of.
Daredevil is a baller. Yeah.
So I like. But that was total side note. Anyway, I'm sorry. Yeah. And how does Korra compare to the original Avatar with Aang? Because you have those three. You have the three central characters, and then season two comes in. You have Toph, as the central four. Are there compelling? I mean, is Korra a compelling lead with interesting supporting characters, or is it just
not? I mean, it's not nearly the group dynamic is not nearly as compelling.
Okay,
right. And her as a central figure is not nearly as compelling as Aang.
I'll agree with that.
And that's that's part of it's just not. It doesn't come close, in my opinion. It's entertaining. I enjoy the show mainly because it's set in that world, and I watched the hell out of Avatar and just loved that sort of – and the flashback – my favorite stuff is the flashback stuff. That shows Aang at 40 years old and,
That's cool.
He's just tearing up dudes, being the most powerful, Avatar
Avatar
awesome.
State is at will. Yeah. And, it's like this dude is the supreme – is the capital A Avatar.
Right,
No more training, no more – he is like no one can hang with the dude.
It's pretty awesome.
And all the flashbacks.
And he's one of the – He's the only Avatar that's been able to take away people's bending. He's immediately just be like, "You're done. You can't have this power
Korra
anymore."
Korra is more of a sort of teen. It's like a CW kind of a show.
It's more focused on like her
teen female angst.
Teen female angst and love interests and stuff
like that.
But she's not passive, right? She's more of an independent character, right?
She's got some willful.
Okay,
absolutely.
Good.
No, it's great. Yeah. She's not passive at all. She's all the great qualities of a female heroine. It's terrific.
Well, season one that I remember is that she's in her mid teens and she has mastered the other elements, but she goes to the capital city to learn airbending.
That's right.
And airbending is very, very difficult for her. Like, she can't pick it up.
Right.
Yeah, initially. It's blocked. For almost, well, anyway, I won't spoil it, but it's blocked. Yeah. It's blocked.
I gotta watch the show again. I gotta rewatch the last.
Well, you remember like Last Airbender, like Aang having trouble with earthbending. It's the same kind of thing. Like, but this is like an ongoing problem for her that she has trouble mastering it. So like the first season, she's dealing with all this like Amon stuff, and then she's also trying to master airbending. And so that it's a good show. I mean, the character, the Team Avatar stuff that you're talking about, like the other side characters, I think that improves more in season two and especially three.
Okay.
There's a lot of like their own storylines for them.
But they don't, I mean, from what I've seen of even limited of season three, it's not close to the great dynamic.
No.
It doesn't have the same kind of charm as the Last Airbender.
Last Airbender. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Not as much, in fact.
But anyway,
I gotta give it a look because I'm with you. I love the world. I love the dynamic of the the four nations and everything. I think it's a great original, great idea. I just need to get back into it and watch the show. So
that was sort of my examination of the things that I've been watching.
Yeah,
the realization hit me that holy crap, these are downers.
The Leftovers and
the Strain, The Killing. I'm binge watching The Killing.
That's on Netflix. Is that good?
Season four. If you like the show, but it is.
It's bleak.
Because the end of season three, the end of season three is a traumatic thing that happens to.
Well, that's continuing on Netflix too. Like that was originally on TV, and then the
AMC. It was really on AMC. Yeah,
right.
It was canceled. Walking Dead. Yeah,
it was canceled, and then Netflix picked it up and continued the story into season four.
Oh, that's great.
And I'm binge watching that. And it is bleak. It is the central character. She is a detective, and she's been unhappy from season one. So, that The Strain. What else that I've been? True Blood is it's not uplifting.
It's not uplifting.
Or happy.
Everybody's
in any
dying
way.
going to die. Threat of being killed.
Yeah.
Everybody is in some state of that.
Little My Little Pony action is right up my alley right now. So
I'm sure your daughters appreciate that.
Have you watched that documentary on Netflix about bronies?
I'm tempted to watch that. It's a really good documentary, actually. Yeah.
I kind of watch it as a joke. Like I was like, let's
check this out.
Let's make fun of these idiots. But when you're done watching it, you're like, oh man, these guys, they're okay.
They just focus on all the positive messaging and
There's a lot of positive stuff in My Little Pony. It's true. So
all right.
that's true. I like it. I recommend that.
All right.
Andrew, what you got?
Oh, what do I got? I continue to watch.
We got to circle back and everybody, we got to talk about the last episode of The Leftovers, though.
Yeah.
Fewer spoilers. Sean's comment is well taken about spoilers.
Oh, did he say that?
He commented on the website. And, yeah.
so, All right. I can add to the lightheartedness of the conversation in terms of what I saw. Then I wanted to, what I can talk about is I went and saw the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie.
That gold plated dump in the box.
It is not good, but it is quite. It's fun. It is so stupid.
Yeah,
but it crosses the line into fun.
Patrick, and you saw it too.
I saw it also, and I will agree with Andrew's statement that like it has glimmers of. I was laughing out loud.
Yes.
I was enjoying some of the action. I was like, yes. Whoa, okay, that's cool.
Yes.
And then there's like there's parts of the animation that look amazing.
Yeah, the turtles look great.
They look great. I thought Splinter looked terrible though. He was really he was really hideous to look at. Like
he was not pleasant.
He was not like he was really ugly. Like
He's a giant rat.
I know,
so.
But you can make rats.
Yeah, dude,
I
mean, giant like, rat.
I know, but you can make him look like sleeker looking or have more hair. He just looked gross. He looked very gross.
He's a sewer rat, dude.
He's a sewer. Anyway,
no, anyways, he looked disgusting.
Yeah, no, I think that some of the martial arts stuff in the movie was actually pretty cool. There's
If you can do robot ninjistics, you can do turtle ninjistics.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though. Megan Fox, borderline unwatchable, useless to the movie completely.
Yes,
like completely pointless at all. Like, so any scene with her in it is
not even to the point of like she, not even to the point where she's in Transformers and she's a little, she's some eye candy.
Yeah, there's
zero eye candy.
Zero
quality.
Eye candy quality to this whole movie.
It's for
the kids, dude.
She's a serious actor now. So.
She's trying to be serious about it, and it just doesn't work.
You can't put her in short shorts.
The whole plot is pretty awful, pretty pointless.
It's pointless, but there are parts of it that are honestly
hockey mask dude in it?
Nope.
Casey Jones is not in it.
No Casey Jones.
Oh,
I was hoping
they already announced the sequel.
I think this
they didn't even tease Casey Jones?
Nope.
No. They should have. They should have teased Casey Jones, and they didn't.
Yeah,
I feel like this whole movie is kind of like it felt rushed or like muddled. Like they had good script. Like whenever the turtles were talking, it was freaking hilarious.
Yeah,
just
they're
laughing
funny.
And
they're actually
funny,
the guys
and
who
the,
do
the voice,
voice
acting,
the turtles
are great. Yes,
have good chemistry and the jokes they tell jokes like 15, 16-year-old men would tell jokes.
Yeah.
It's funny.
It's really
and stupid.
That's
and you
funny.
Laugh at it.
That's
but,
funny.
But everything
like,
else
to a
is
point.
Right.
It
everything
is,
else
no,
is awful.
You're right.
If the whole movie is that.
No.
Well,
it's just
and they're
just
they're,
clever.
But there
clever.
There's actual there's an actual moment of originality and creativity.
You only could tell a pizza joke like three.
Oh, no.
There's actually not a
there's
lot of pizza
a,
jokes.
There's a really good pizza joke. You know the when they're being punished, Andrew.
Yes,
that scene is hilarious. That's my god!
Well, I mean, and I'm not spoiling anything here. And Christopher,
no spoilers.
But Patrick, the scene where they're in the elevator and they're riding up.
Oh my god! So
that's
great.
The best scene in the movie. It's so much fun, and it,
oh my god, so
I
much fun!
It. I thought it was great. I would watch the movie.
I would
just
watch
to
it
see
again.
That.
I would watch
just
it again.
See that scene. It's just
but
so
it is
goofball
awful.
Fun.
Don't get me wrong. This movie is horrible. It's really not good. The plot is pointless. Most of the characters are useless.
Yeah.
It just feels very lopsided. Very lopsided. Fun. Right. Yeah. Some
turtles are actually fun.
The turtles are fun. It's true.
Yeah. I don't know if I'll ever. I mean, if I catch it on cable sometime, I might sit and watch it again.
Right.
I doubt I'll pay money to see it or even buy it on Blu-ray.
I wouldn't buy it. No.
Yeah. So. No. But that's what I saw. But I mean, it's just goofball fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would watch another one. I would watch the sequel.
Yeah, I'd go see a sequel. Sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
What else?
What else? Oh, well, you know, I commented on the Turtles with you and Korra a little bit. I'm still watching that. Korra, the last episode of Korra. Whoo, they got dark. I texted you guys like immediately when it happened.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, I'm wondering if the, you know, I start to think maybe because of what happened in that episode.
Is this the final episode? Was that the final episode of season three, or just the one that we're at?
They're on episode 10.
All right,
13. I think they're gonna do. They're gonna do 13. So, the Airbender guy basically smokes someone. I'm not gonna tell you who.
Yeah, no spoiler.
No spoiler, but he definitely he sucks. He airbends the air out of the person's lungs. And then creates a sphere bubble so they can't breathe around their head, and
Holy crap, just
kills them. That's... You don't like they fall over and they choke, and then it cuts away. You don't see them actually die, but then it's said later, like, oh, you know, the queen is or, oh oops, but the person is gone. They are dead.
Whoa.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thanks, spoiler boy.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Thanks for screwing that up.
Bleep that. Bleep it. Okay. So before we move on from scene, we got to talk about something else that I watched.
Okay.
Yeah.
I watched some videos from Gamescom in Germany.
Ooh. Okay.
Okay.
And I don't know if you want to talk about that during played. It's not really played. It's more seen, but it's gaming related.
Gaming
for sure.
Related. Save it for played.
Got it.
Gaming related, right. Save it for play.
Onward
and upward. What else? You wanted to talk about the last episode of Leftovers, if we
yes.
can be spoiler-free.
If we can be spoiler-free for our illustrious listener, Sean.
This character that
let
was
me
the
just
center
say, boys,
of...
I have on my computer the complete run of National Geographic.
Do you have that issue?
What?
Do you have the issue in...
Do you know what the issue they're talking about?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, my God. So what's in it?
I'm not going to say.
What?
Is
but
there's something
that is
in
important.
That.
It's a key MacGuffin from the episode,
oh
and
my God.
I have it on my computer.
Oh, gosh. I got to get this.
Okay, dude, Lindelof, and he's just
here's
messing with people.
It's a lost moment.
Oh yeah, that absolutely.
This is not a lost show, but it right. is no. a it is purely an homage to the people of Lost and the Dharma Initiative.
Oh
and
yeah,
who went insane on the? I mean, that's the first show ever that went crazy. Over all the details and everything that was sprinkled in that show.
Dude, how many times
did
we sit around...
The Leftovers is not that show.
No, I'm just saying. How many
but anyway,
times we sit
had...
around and debate the music and the books on the shelves and shit on Lost?
Anyway,
so that's Lindelof writing an homage to Lost and the fans of Lost. But there is shit in that National Geographic that... Could be clues.
Oh my
so
god!
Awesome.
Gotta
so,
get it.
That's
awesome.
Great. Okay, so my question is,
I mean,
they're asking a lot of questions and they're leaving a lot. Everything's kind of ambiguous. Like you don't.
Everything's obtuse.
Yes, you never know if it's like this is actually something happening, or is his dad actually insane, or is someone. Actually speaking
that
to him.
That is the central issue. That.
So, yeah. but can they answer the questions without ruining the show? That's what I'm wondering. Because you want the answers, but if they give you the answers, then it takes away from like the intrigue and the mystery.
Never,
and then, so I don't think they can answer.
I guarantee you, they will never answer the
big. They will never understand they will never explain the departure, ever.
But they'll never explain that, but will they explain whether his father is, whether Wayne is actually like hugging people and it actually does anything for them? Because people are changing.
I read a preview of upcoming episodes, and we do get a Wayne answer.
There's a Wayne answer.
Yes.
Because he hugged Nora, and Nora was all screwed up, and now she's fine.
She's not quote unquote fine.
She's not fine, but she's improved.
She's dealing with it better.
She's dealing with it better. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, like, the show continues to fire. Yes. It's so powerful and interesting.
Yeah, it is such compelling television.
It is everybody's very compelling, but again, dark and very oppressive and unrelenting.
If this season ends well, it will be one of my favorite shows ever. If it ends well.
Yeah. We said that last week, and they've already announced it got renewed for season 2.
Yep.
Nice. Okay.
So there'll be more of that. I can't sing enough praises about Justin Theroux, the guy who plays the chief. He is so good.
He's so good.
And he is so intense. But he's just hanging on by his fingernails in every single moment, man. He's just ready to spin off the earth. And you see that, and you. He just is trying so hard, and his life is so fracked up.
Dude, he is so he's losing it. Like, he is like with last week too, and the security system always messing up, and the dog, and him forgetting where he is and stuff.
Yeah.
God, there is some crazy crap happening.
There is. Yep.
He's losing it.
All of that is to keep the viewers off balance.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's it's such good TV to put the viewer in a position to be uncomfortable and off balance at all times.
Yes.
It's such an interesting meta idea to, through the show, put, if you really engage in the show, put you into as close a emotional state as the characters in the show are in.
Exactly.
Because all of the uncertainty and all of the sort of lack of answers, right?
Yes.
We're all feeling it. We're all, you know, clearly 100%. Not to the level of the characters in the show, but I just find it fascinating that they've, as a TV show, they've been able to do that so effectively to the viewers by it's not lost. It's not a puzzle. It's not intended to be a puzzle. It's intended to be an examination of loss and an existential journey. And I mean, and it's intended to put the viewers in a state that approximates that.
Yeah,
and it's really effective.
It really, really is
at doing that. So I applaud that show, and I'll definitely continue watching.
Three episodes left this season.
Three episodes left. I like it.
Yeah.
Let's move on to Red.
Let's do that.
Red, Andrew, what have you?
Me,
what
I am read? Totally caught up with Batman Eternal.
Well done.
Issue 19.
Well done.
Shut up.
Went down to Samurai Comics 19. And picked it up. Went down in Samurai.
What is your we're gonna do an episode like the first arc, right? We talked about this.
Once that all
we're
resolves,
we'll do a segment entire first arc. Yeah. Got impressions
and
on
they're
where
saying,
things
and
are
they're
at.
Saying like for that is like the '20s, like early
in
20s.
The next couple
early
weeks.
Early 20s.
The first arc.
So I need
resolve.
To get caught up in the next few weeks here.
And then we'll do a breakdown.
I will say this of the most recent issue. There's multiple threads going through the first issues. Obviously, the thread that gets talked about and focused on a lot is the thread involving Red Hood, Batgirl, and Batwoman.
Mm.
And there is a...
Who is the Red Hood?
The Red Hood, Jason Todd.
Jason Todd. Okay.
Yeah. In kind of the retcon of the new 52, Jason...
Geek alert! Uber geek alert!
Here comes the Batman geek.
Alert. Uber geek alert!
Wow. Okay.
Can I explain? Just because you're going to be impressed.
Well, that's one way of... I don't think that word means what you think it means.
Okay, for all of you out there who don't know, Jason Todd was the second...
Wow.
All right. Continue, Andrew.
Jason Todd was the second Robin after Dick Grayson.
And then they killed him.
And they killed him. They actually there was a huge event in comics called Death in the Family. Jason Todd is killed.
Well, they did like a whole vote thing where people could call in.
Will he live or will he die?
Will he live? And they voted to kill him.
It was a very call in.
Yeah, there was a number on the comic, and then you you like?
Of course, people voted to kill him off.
They hated him.
The race sucks.
They
hated him.
Well, it was a very, very close vote, apparently.
Comic book geeks are terrible.
Yeah, pretty much.
They killed him off, but through comic book magic and wizardry, he came back to life. Eventually, wizardry. He is the Red Hood.
He came back in the Hush series, didn't he?
He did. Yeah.
That's Jason Todd.
So he's just the Red Hood.
I have Hush. I have that absolute Hush.
Yeah. He's Hush.
Thanks, dude.
Spoiler alert.
Major spoiler right there.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway,
you haven't read it?
That particular plot.
What the hell, dude?
You never read Hush?
Of course I read it.
There's like
remember.
It's like 10 years ago.
Yeah, seriously. Hush came out in like 2002.
Yeah, that's not a good spoiler.
There are people out there who are listening to this podcast who are just...
Are you ever going to read Hush? Are you, gentle listener, are you ever going to do that?
Okay. They should. It's a great
series. This podcast has become the No Fun podcast.
No fun. No fun.
All Christopher wants to do is make fun of people and bitch, so... That should be fun for
that's
him.
That's not true.
That's totally true.
I just said that I wanted to watch My Little Pony, dude.
All right,
Christopher's
Andrew.
Becoming a brony, everybody.
Oh, my God. Christopher is a brony. Title of the episode. Yeah. Okay.
Palate cleanser for my frontal lobe.
Oh, wow. All right. Andrew.
Yeah, Batman Eternal, it's all over the place. We'll do a huge recap of it once the first kind of arc resolves in the next couple weeks.
What else have you been reading?
I am totally caught up. I am on issue 1-something. I got to look at it to confirm of Invincible.
Yeah.
The arc that they're writing on Invincible right now is fantastic.
I'm really behind. Like, I'm reading
my favorite arc of the entire. I mean, and I've read all 100 and some odd issues.
Really?
Of
Invincible.
Oh, yeah. No,
it's a great book.
It's a great book. Kirkman is in total command of that book. He's written all 100 and some odd issues.
Have you read did you pick up Kirkman's new book? I can't remember the name of it. It's something.
Is it Outcast? Is that it?
Is that what it is? Yeah, it's about like a kid who got like possessed, and then he like.
I think I have the first couple
demons.
Issues. I haven't read it yet though. I've been just trying to keep up.
Yeah,
yeah, with Batman Eternal and a couple other books that I'm current on because I'm behind on a lot of books.
Okay.
But yeah, no, the arc they're in Invincible right now is fantastic, and they're almost done with it. I think they've only got two
villain. Like, what's the?
I can't tell you who the villain is.
Okay.
Because we've known since issue 1.
Whoa.
Stop the book. I'm just saying. Yeah, I can't tell you who the villain is, but that's how deep this goes.
We're not allowed to have any fun.
No fun.
No spoilers.
Spoilers. Christopher is the spoiler.
Don't try to
police.
Give me the spoiler stuff.
Okay, all right, good.
Yeah. But
it's
great.
What else?
That's where I'm at with my red stuff.
Sweet.
Reading.
Yep.
Words,
Christopher.
Words in my brain.
Christopher, what have you been reading?
I am up to issue 18.
Batman Eternal.
Yeah.
I have read begin my reread of Absolute Sandman Volume 1,
awesome.
Which I
awesome.
Love. So I'm working my way through that.
You've
that
read
is
that complete series, right? Like the whole
not thing. The complete. No.
Oh, okay.
No. So I'm
the
working
deeply,
my way. I am going to read the complete series. Neil Gaiman is one of my favorite authors, and I'm going to read the entire run.
He's a wildly creative genius.
Yes, he is.
So I'm working on that. And I love
American
that.
American Gods is on my queue for on my wish
oh my
list
God,
for Amazon.
So
good. I'll get
so
that eventually.
Good, dude.
There's talk of them making that into a TV series, like on
Diet
Cable.
No, that's dead.
Oh, is it really?
Yep.
Okay.
I saw,
then I gotta read it.
I saw an article or an interview of Gaiman, and they no longer are.
Squash
it's no longer in development.
Okay,
that sucks.
All right,
HBO. I mean, maybe some other
Netflix
production will pick it up, but HBO punted because it was too difficult. They said that it's too difficult to make it at the quality that it deserves. So
I got you.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So they punted on it.
HBO can adapt Game of Thrones, but they don't want to touch American Gods.
Well, American Gods is a little loftier than Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah. No, I understand. It's just the complexity of that story, yeah.
So I'm reading Codex Alera, which is the Jim Butcher sort of fantasy series.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's sort of middle of the road fantasy. Nothing that's like leaped out at me that's too compelling. So that's, you know, inching along.
You're still on the first book, or are you in the
still on the first book?
Okay.
I am caught up all the way to what is it? Issue 21, 22 of Saga. I just love that book.
That's such a good book.
It's so awesome.
Right.
Very out there. And
they've released some of those in some trade paperbacks, right? If I wanted to buy a big shot and get caught up.
Yes.
Okay.
There's three of them. They're each one is like five issues. They might be coming out with a fourth one soon.
They probably are. Yeah.
I read up to the third volume of Saga. Talk about like – I want them to make that – HBO series. Oh my god,
that
how
would be
crazy
fantastic.
And dark, it's like
so trippy
and violent. Oh my god, that book is so violent and crazy.
I'm enjoying that a lot. It's a really complex, interesting, multi-layered sci-fi opera.
Brian K. Vaughan definitely pushes the boundaries with that book, so
yep, for sure. And so I'm enjoying that a lot. Mm-hmm. I finished listening to The Strain, book one.
Oh,
okay.
So I got to the end of that book. I need to download.
This is the book that's based that the show
the show was based on. Yes.
Oh, interesting.
It's a three book series. And I've just I just finished book one of the series, and the show is working its way through book one. So,
is it?
I still haven't watched that.
Same kind of points and have the same kind of
similar.
Characters?
The show has definitely changed some of the plot points.
Okay.
And so the show is going to be different, I think, for a variety of reasons, which is a good thing.
All right.
You know, the book is sort of your standard. You know, I like the biological take on the vampire and how all of that is set up. It's a different take on it, but it's just sort of standard sort of humans fight the vampires kind of thing.
Cool.
In terms of Red, that's about it. Yeah, I think that's it.
Nice.
Yeah.
I haven't really read any Ready Player One, but I have it, and I need to get on to that because I'm in love.
I need to get on that too.
Still loving that.
Awesome.
I've been really listening to a lot of Feast for Crows to try to finish it because.
Dude, get through it, and then you can read Dance with Dragons, which is better.
Right. Oh, much better.
Feast for okay. This is what
you
I'm
gotta power this, through it, dude.
This
power
is,
through it.
This
sucks.
Is what I'm gonna. This is what I'm gonna tell you. Like, this is what I was gonna bring up before you guys even said anything. There's nothing, like, unless they kill somebody or some big thing happens at the end of this book. Like, this is pretty boring. This book is not.
Shit happens in the last 50 pages.
Shit happens. Yeah. Keep up with it, dude.
Yeah.
But like I want them to kill somebody, like Cersei. I want them just so something happens. Like Jamie, kill somebody. Like I don't even care. Yeah. Like
just
dies,
keep trucking.
Good.
And then
good.
Dance of Dragons
is
better.
I want them to shake the tree a little bit, and this book is so just I mean, I liked all the world building stuff. I like the different houses and the different people and all the stuff in Dorne, but it's so
yeah, that's the best part.
Like, nothing's happening.
Is all the stuff in
nothing
Dorne.
Is happening. Like,
all the Dornish characters are great.
And like what I want to happen is like the Arya stuff, and her chapters are like maybe half as much as every
but
other person.
They are
like,
easily the most riveting
parts
of that storyline is freaking awesome.
That storyline's awesome, and she's like she's probably had three, and Cersei has had like eight chapters.
Yeah,
so it's like, oh my god, seriously, I want more. I don't care, about Cersei. Getting in Cersei's mind is not enjoyable. Like, I, you know, she's not enjoyable on the show, but, like, you don't have to hear about every little thought and how like, messed up she is.
Cersei needs My Little Pony.
She definitely needs
She does.
Yes.
That's good.
No question.
Oh, that's a fact.
She definitely needs that. She's got she's got problems. And so, like, her chapters I just dread listening to. It's like, oh, my God, I don't even care. Just die. I just want you to die.
Spoiler.
I don't know if she's going to die.
Nope.
Well.
Or maybe.
Is it a spoiler that she's still alive? Is that a spoiler?
Or maybe yes.
Okay.
Or you never know.
Okay.
Or maybe no.
I'm trying to think what else. If I read anything, nothing's coming to mind.
We got to make sure we got to touch on True Blood and our ongoing hate watch of True Blood.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah, we're backtracking the scene right now?
A little bit, because we didn't talk about True Blood. And the main, like, okay, this is the big threat. They've killed her off.
Exactly. I thought you'd be happy about that.
What is the point of the show?
She wasn't the big...
I thought you'd be happy about that.
I am happy, but it's like...
She's gone.
She's not the big threat. She was just...
quote-unquote villain.
She was not, like, the big threat.
She was nothing.
This show... This season is not more... This season is about more of, like... A little bit of storylines, wrap things up. And there's no, like, big bad. There's no big bad this season.
So or maybe the big bad is lurking?
No, there's no big bad.
It's too much to hope for. You're right.
Too much to hope for.
Too much to hope for because they killed off the... crazy.
Yeah. What do you think... Oh, did you guys freeze? Hello? I lost you... Are you guys still there? I might have to pause it and
be much louder.
All right.
No.
So we were talking about True Blood before and what we were thinking of what's happening.
Yes, the main villain and how they dealt with that main, what we thought might be the main villain for the remainder of the season does not appear as if she's going to be the main villain.
I didn't think she was going to be the main villain. I just thought she was pissed off.
I was disappointed if that was what they were setting it up
as.
She was going to be the main villain. That's the main, like, conflict for the remainder of the season. As I said, that struck me as incredibly lame. So, clearly that's not going to be the case.
Without saying any spoilers. Clearly that's not the case.
Clearly. And so, you know, it's going to be Bill and his existential issues. And, you know, they've been teeing up all of that with all the flashback stuff. And
yeah, there's a question at the end of the episode that is posed. And what do you guys think of that? Like, do you understand his choice? Like, why he's...
I do.
He's decided to...
I do. I think, he's...
Do whatever he's going to do.
He's coming to a realization that to actually love and respect Sookie, he's got to allow her to lead her life. And a life with him is not the type of life she would actually want, I think.
Interesting.
She has no desire to be a vampire. She loves being a human being. He cannot offer her a human future. So dealing with that reality and his, you know, all the flashbacks that he's experienced this season have illuminated kind of Bill's humanity and the choices that he's made and how he created a family exactly and the choices he made to preserve that family. So he is now faced with another choice in terms of, you know, he would deny Sookie a family if they were to continue, because she obviously loves him, she's dedicated to him, and he loves her, and he's dedicated to her. But, you know, love isn't enough sometimes for people to be right to each other.
Sookie.
I have a very dear close friend who is very upset that this TV show is ending, and she is actually talking about doing a finale party. So I wanted to give her a little bit of a shout out. I won't mention her by name, but she's all about. She's very sad. The show is ending. She wants to have a finale party.
The show sucks.
Okay, you and her will never be friends.
God, freaking terrible.
Come on. A party?
Yeah.
Yeah, we should throw a party to celebrate its ending.
Like a memorial. She wants to have a memorial.
Oh, God, terrible.
Terrible.
Okay, anyway. Well, we talked. I think that's enough. Right. We should definitely
move on to played.
We'll talk about the show ending and when it's all over.
What does it mean? We'll do a segment about what is the meaning of True Blood?
How will we look back on True Blood as a whole?
That's a good. True. I like that. When it's over,
we'll talk about it.
We'll do a philosophical analysis of.
I like it. Right. So, played. Christopher, what have you played?
Yeah, I have played.
Fucking geek.
Whoa.
Sorry.
I have played. Okay. Oh, you know, I didn't. This is a. It's connected to Scene. I didn't talk about it in Scene, but I will. I played Forza 5, of Forza 5.
Okay.
And I got much more interest and enjoyment out of playing Forza 5 this time because I watched it's arguably a crappy movie, Need for Speed.
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
That is a crappy car movie, but
I haven't
seen
it.
The internet solves all problems. So once you watch that movie, people have gone on the internet and put out the specs how to recreate the Mustang that is in Need for Speed.
Okay.
And recreate it in Forza 5 on the Xbox One. And so I immediately did that and created this badass 2013 Shelby Cobra Mustang. That matches the Mustang that was drove in the movie, and so I've been driving that car in races that are appropriate for its class against other supercars like in the show. So it's
that's cool.
Very fun. That has been my fun gaming this week is.
That's kind of like nerd overlap there. Watching movies
big time
and then
nerd overlap.
Yeah,
big time.
And then big making time. It playing the game at the
I
same.
I love it. I love it. It was great fun.
That's all awesome. Aspects coming That's awesome. Into one.
Yes, it doesn't handle. You know, Mustangs they don't handle that great.
Well, it's
so,
a muscle car. It's not a race car. It's designed rubber
with all of its add-on race components. It's kind of difficult to drive, but I'm still winning some. I'm still winning some races and competing against the
understeer, I'm
Koenigseggs
sure.
and the Ferraris of the world. But it's a challenge. So I played a lot of that this past week. I played some Diablo, and you know what else we haven't talked about mobile games. I played Sudoku. I downloaded a Sudoku app on my phone, and I've been playing the hell out of that on my phone. I absolutely love that. It's a fun logic game that I really enjoy. And something prompted me. I must have seen something that prompted me. Hey, Sudoku's fun. So I found a really good Sudoku app on the Google Play Store and downloaded it. And I've been playing that this week and having a good time with it. So.
Cool. Awesome. Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't think I've ever played a game of Sudoku in my life, so.
I think it's beyond you, dude.
Yeah, you're too
Most
much of a
are.
Simpleton.
Yeah, it's,
so.
Well, you could play on.
Baby.
the lowest
push buttons
anyway.
To setting.
That's push, what I play.
Push the button to win.
Push the button.
Just push the button.
Are you able to push the red button?
Push the red button.
They have like games for iPads and stuff that are made for like cats and like pets. Yeah. You should just play those, Andrew.
That's fun.
That's
what
you're
really fun.
You're the expert gamer of the crew.
I guess so.
Awesome.
I played some games. I played Halo. I played Spartan Ops again.
You played Spartan Ops?
I was going to make a point, though. Really quick. Gamescom 2014 is
happening. Oh, yeah.
I watched the Xbox One, parts of the Xbox One presentation.
Okay.
Got me. I'm going to be spending so much money on games this fall.
Okay, okay. So here's my problem with the Xbox One stuff. I know.
The PlayStation fanboy.
I'm not a PlayStation fanboy. I'm an Xbox fanboy that has been disappointed by Microsoft.
Stop.
Here.
Be excited about what they're coming
the next,
up. What?
Okay, I will. Hold on. Hold on.
Just bring it.
The next gen stuff has been so disappointing so far.
Channel some Twilight Sparkle,
dude. What?
Seriously? What do you fucking want?
Andrew, easy with the F-bombs. It's just like it's very. They haven't released anything that makes me want to buy an Xbox One or a PlayStation 4. I mean, they're still releasing games for the 360. So, like, why spend the money? I mean, it looks good.
I agree,
good.
It's a slow rollout.
They have been a slow rollout. They need to get on their horse stop talking about games and release games.
God, what, you're, like, not listening to my point of watching the Gamescom footage,
yes.
Which is they're talking about games that are coming out in September through November.
Okay. Okay, yeah. So, like, a couple of, like, a month?
Destiny?
Destiny definitely is coming out on.
It's their flagship game, isn't
dude,
it?
Dude, I am so
Master
excited about
Chief
that.
Collection.
When is that coming out?
November.
Oh, yeah. See, I'll play that.
Just in time for the holidays, motherfucker.
You need an Xbox. We both need Xbox Ones, Andrew.
Yeah,
but
you do. So
I know we do.
Together.
I've had kind of an expensive summer. I went to Con, so I've blown my wad.
Okay.
I will buy an Xbox
Andrew
One.
Andrew needs to
eventually.
Do some saving. He needs to do
I
some
saving.
I
do need to do some saving.
So do I. So do I. We'll both do
I
some
need
saving
to do
and
some debt reduction.
This is what it is. I need a big RPG. Like if they released another Elder Scrolls or another Fallout on the next gen, I wouldn't even think twice about it. I'd have to own it immediately. But they haven't given me that game yet. Destiny is
don't
probably going to be amazing, but I don't.
Gamer.
Destiny is going to be amazing.
Destiny
really
is going to
be
amazing, but like,
I'm even excited for that stupid game.
I know. Are you gonna get it for the Xbox 360?
I want to get a one, dude. It's time to upgrade.
Well, I'm gonna buy it for the 360 and play with my friends when it comes out. But I'm gonna save for a one. And I'll probably end up getting it for a one also.
Save for a one.
Yes.
Did you see the report that there were 10 million PlayStation 4s sold and 5 million Xbox Ones?
Woo! See, they're getting rocked.
Yeah. PlayStation 4 is clearly winning the
they need
console
to,
battle.
Xbox needs to get
it's
it
all
together.
About games. It's all about the must-have games, and there hasn't been really any that have rocked the socks off anyone for that says, okay, I got to have an Xbox One.
Right.
It's gonna be Halo 5.
Yes.
That will drive the sales.
Halo still have the clout that it used to? I mean, since Bungie doesn't make it anymore. I mean,
it
you
doesn't.
Guys are Halo fanboys, but it doesn't have the
Halo
it doesn't
4
have
was
the,
a great game.
It doesn't have I know, but it doesn't have the chops it used to. Not anymore.
Nope, doesn't.
It doesn't have it doesn't
I'm
have
excited
the,
about
the pull.
Master Chief Collection because I can't wait to play Original and Halo 2. Those games are freaking great.
I feel like a lot of people prefer Call of Duty or Battlefield games over the Halo series.
Well, for multiplayer, for sure.
Right, right.
Yeah,
but like Halo used to be the go-to for like competitive shooting on consoles.
Yeah.
And it's not anymore.
Not, yeah, it's Call of Duty. So I watched some videos about some games that are coming out in the fall, and it gets me very excited about it because there's some really good stuff coming out in the fall. Gamescom is going on right now, and there was Xbox Live has videos of their presentation on all the games coming out. So that got me excited about some more games coming out this fall. So, Andrew, what have you played, if anything?
I played some Spartan Ops this past week. I played a mission where I basically spent the entire mission in a Mantis, you know, the mech that you can climb in as a Spartan.
Cool.
That's the walker thing. Awesome. Right?
Yeah. The walker thing. Yeah, and yeah. I was laying fire down. I was lighting fools
those are fun.
Up. Oh, yeah.
Anytime I can get into one of those scorpion tanks, I love those.
Oh, yeah.
Those tanks are so awesome.
Can I jump in?
So fun to drive.
I would like to comment on. You're making me think of something, Andrew. Remember? You remember what was it? Halo 3. That you could, it was still the Bungie was making them, where you could fly in the jet, and there was like the space missions, and it was the same controls as like the old Bungie game, the
Wing Commander, not Wing Commander.
What was that called?
Yeah, no, it was like a Sky Pirate game.
Sky Pirate game. Oh my god.
I can't remember what it's called. It's in my house somewhere. I don't even know where it is. But yeah, no, it was
sick. But I loved that.
That wasn't on Halo 3. That was Halo Reach. You played as Noble
Reach.
Six.
That's right.
You played as Noble
Six.
But
I'm hoping there's some spaceship elements to Destiny. I'm hoping that they bring back some fighter-on-fighter action.
That would be fun.
Was so solid in Halo Reach.
It really was.
I want that in this game so much.
I'll tell you that the preview they did, the video that they show at the Gamescom video that I watched was Destiny's competitive PvP.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there were a couple maps that were vehicles.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. So I don't remember seeing. I think they might have been all ground-based vehicles that I saw, but there's got to be some airborne.
I would
sort of
love
vehicles.
Like some fighter.
Or even if they don't have
battling.
It on the PvP stuff, they'll have it in the campaign.
Right.
I mean, they have to have. You think they would have to have it? It's a science fiction show. They got to have, and they. Yeah, I don't know. I would hope so too. I haven't read that much about Destiny, but
I
second that, Patrick.
There wasn't any in the beta.
Yeah.
So.
I mean that's
beta's a limited.
Yeah, limited.
Yeah.
You were talking about the vehicles, the Mantis, and
Halo. It's just fun to lay waste and you have the rockets and you have kind of the heavy cannon on the Mantis, but the fun kind of stomper effect that it has. There were instances where I'm getting swarmed around by Promethean crawlers, and you stomp on 10 of them and they all just explode, and it kind of has that cool, you know, huge kind of plume that jumps up.
Pixelating effect.
Exactly. I don't remember kind of having that kind of or using the Mantis against crawlers before, and kind of like being able to stomp on them was fun. So that's something I
remember. It's a very like satisfying feeling.
Gotta love
very satisfying
like that.
Moment.
Yeah. Moments like that in games are great fun. Yeah.
They really are. So totally. That's. But I played another mission this week. So what did you got, Patrick?
Well, I played Wolfenstein for another half an hour, and then decided that I hated it. it's so ugly, really. Like it looks good, but the art style is god awful, and it's trying to be like this.
Some people love it.
It just doesn't
fit your eye.
It totally doesn't fit my eye. It's really hard to look at. It's really hard to look at, and there's this mixture of like realist, like Call of Duty, with like a little bit of. I don't know. It's just crappy looking. It feels very poorly made, and it's made by Bethesda, which is so disappointing that they would make such a game like this.
Yeah.
And it just makes me mad that it's not Fallout 4. So I stopped playing it. I sent it back to Gamefly, and I'm going to cancel my Gamefly because Reaper of Souls comes out next week for the console, which I will be getting with my friends, and we'll be playing the crap out of that.
Paragon level 175, dude.
Woo!
I've hit.
That's awesome.
175.
Way
too many.
Way too many. I'm sure.
No, I see people online that are in the 600s.
There was a guy who posted on Twitter today that Diablo retweeted, and it said Paragon level 1,000.
Jeez.
So there's people out there who don't leave their house, dude. They just play games. These are like the. Yeah. World of Warcraft people.
They're the guys who scream. They're like, Mom! Meatloaf!
Yeah, those guys.
Mom!
Just Just watch the South Park WoW episode, and that will cure you of all.
You will know those people. There's nothing against those people. If they can live their lives and they're happy, fine. But have to go work. We have to go. I have to go out and talk to women. I have to go drink.
Talk to women.
I have to talk to women. I have to drink alcohol, not in my house.
If I want a good conversation, I got to talk to a plant. That's a fact.
Yep. Totally.
Yep.
The vocabulary is close to the same.
My buddies and I continue to play Diablo to try to level him, my buddy, up to, we've gotten him from one to 47 now in like a week, because we've just been power leveling him like crazy, and we're trying to get him to 60 so that he can play with us once the game comes out next week. Once Reaper hits. And then, you know, this is like a huge gameplay difference, so they're adding like adventure mode and, you know, I'll talk about it next week. I'll have
adventure
it by
mode.
Then.
Yeah, I mean, that's all on the. That's what I've been playing on the PC. Adventure mode is a great addition to it.
Well, so. And then like adventure mode, and then like from adventure mode, you get like the rift keys, right? And then you use those to do the rift gates. And then those are like, this is where you get the gear. This is where you farm like crazy, is from those keys.
Yes.
Okay, so I'll be doing that, and I'm really excited about that. And then I get to play that for a couple weeks, and then Destiny comes out, so I don't need my Gamefly account anymore, because I'm going to be buying.
You're going to be lousy.
You will get your money's worth. I mean, the game like Diablo, you get your money's worth out of those games.
Well,
like,
and it's,
you cannot believe
the with the Reaper of Souls, and like it's only $40. It's not like I need to buy. I'm not buying a $60 game. That's so worth it.
Can be 50, 60, 70, 100 hours of gameplay that you enjoy. What? I mean, and it's if you like it, you get. I mean, you'll get more than your money's worth out of it.
Awesome. I'm really excited about that, and that's next week. So just preparing myself for that.
Cool, fun.
Played a little bit of GTA Online still. That's still enjoyable. But yeah,
is anyone? I mean, when you get online, are there people?
Oh, there's
people are playing it.
There's always they have done the system of like you're in a world with 15 other dudes, like 16 people.
So it's never more than that.
It's right. It's a Destiny like.
Yeah, got it.
So like you're in this instanced area. So yeah, I'll join
your dedicated game.
You'll join a game, and there will be 15 other dudes murdering each other, and murdering civilians, and so you got to be careful because you
fake murdering
each other. So you got to be careful.
Virtual murder.
You'll pop on and like if you see another person, you should either
shoot them.
Because don't wait for them to be nice. Don't wait
it's
for
like
them
the internet.
To, like, to leave you alone.
Reduced to it's the internet is hell, and then that game is reduced to its most basic hell level.
Yes. Uh-huh. Don't wait for them to see what they're gonna do.
Like, right. There's no conversation starter.
There's no conversation starter. There's no like, hey, let's be friends.
Headshot.
Right. You run away or you shoot them. Those are your options. That's what's
this
been
is
going
on. This is why I do not play any of those kind of games.
Yeah, exactly.
That's no fun, dude. That is no fun.
Well, like, and like, okay, this is sort of like a side conversation, but the whole, like, you know, World of Warcraft, like, you could see another, like, on an opposing faction come up to you in the middle of the game, and it's like, that person could jump you, or you could just leave each other alone, and I feel like...
Well, you opt in if you're on a PvP server.
Right, but if you're on a PvP server, it's sort of like... They could just jump you while you're in the middle of doing a quest and you're fighting six things. Dude, but like, they could just leave you alone and go about their business. They don't need to be doing that, but I don't know. It's sort of like...
They will, 9 times out of 10, they will be asshats and jump you.
Yep. 9 times out of 10.
No question about it.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay, Andrew, you got a trivia question for us?
Before we do trivia, we should announce the fact that the Barclays Premier League is returning this weekend.
Yes, yes! I'm very excited. Woo!
Yes, sir.
Patrick's defending
his championship with Manchester City.
We hate him very much.
They play on Sunday morning, I believe. I'm going to try to get up for that, but Saturday night might.
Tottenham also plays on Sunday.
Arsenal plays 9:30 on Saturday.
Oh, really? Nice.
Chelsea actually has the noon Monday game.
There's a bar near my house that will be showing the game, and they're open early enough, so I'll probably try to go over there and watch it.
But roll out and walk
quality
down.
Time. Yeah. Quality time.
But the Premier League is back, so we will be doing weekly updates on the Premier League.
I've been thinking about pulling the trigger on either a jersey or at least a scarf. I don't have a Manchester scarf yet, so I need
I gotta have some kind of swag
that I can sport while I
I'm getting an away kit this year. I'm pulling trigger on that.
I pulled the trigger when we were in San Diego, man. They have a Puma store downtown, and I pulled the trigger on authentic Arsenal gear.
Wow.
I have a jersey.
That's awesome.
I will be wearing it on game days.
You should like Instagram that.
The Arsenal selfies are coming back.
Nice.
Oh, Jesus.
He just, so everybody knows, he likes to take photos of himself with that scarf on every day.
With only the scarf on.
And only the... Yeah, it's hideous.
It's traumatic.
You know that friend that you have that sends you the Snapchats that you don't know if you can trust? That's Andrew.
I have no problem being that friend, actually.
To the infinity exponent.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Nice. I'm excited. We'll talk about the first games next podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Woo.
Sure will. Yes, sir. All right. For trivia this week, just because with the passing of Robin Williams, it got me thinking about animation because I was thinking about Aladdin so much.
Uh-huh.
So I have because last week we did Marvel films and, you know, the order and they released or whatever. I am going to ask you gentlemen if you can tell me, according to BoxOfficeMojo.com, lifetime gross of the top five animated films of all time.
Woo.
Combined or each individual one?
Well, no. What are the top five?
Oh, top five.
Is this in terms of gross? Is this adjusted
gross
for inflation?
Animated.
No, lifetime gross on... Got it. BoxOfficeMojo.com, the top five.
Films. These are not adjusted for inflation.
No.
So they're everything in the past 10 years.
They're everything in the past 25 years, actually,
yeah.
Is the list. So.
Okay, top five. My guess...
In any order you want.
I would say number one, well...
Beauty and the Beast is in top five.
Frozen has got to be in there. And
Are you going to tell us yes or no?
Finding Nemo has got to be in there.
Beauty and the Beast is actually not in there. Finding Nemo is top five.
Beauty and the Beast is not?
It is not.
Holy crap.
Frozen top five?
And Finding Nemo are in the top five.
Yes. Okay.
The Incredibles.
No.
Incredibles is not top five.
Yep. I could have told you that.
So what are the two that we've named?
Finding Nemo and Frozen.
The Little Mermaid.
Nope. Not top five.
The Lion King.
Lion King is top five.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
So that's three.
Patrick's dominating.
Finding Nemo, Frozen, and Lion King. There is a trilogy that you gentlemen have not named a single film from. Animated trilogy of films.
Oh,
you
Shrek.
Not...
Toy Story.
Okay. Which ones?
Oh. So Shrek
Toy
the
Story
first one.
3.
Shrek.
Yes.
Shrek Toy the Story first 3. One and Toy Story 3. Did we both get them right?
Toy Story 3 is in the top five.
Oh. Yes.
But not Shrek.
But not the first Shrek.
Oh.
Shrek 2.
With Puss in Boots.
Is in according to BoxOfficeMojo.com, the number one lifetime gross of an animated film, Shrek 2, $441 million.
Yeah, give us the numbers for the rest of them.
Yeah. Shrek 2, lifetime gross, $441 million. The Lion King, lifetime gross, $422 million.
Is that domestic or worldwide?
Bata Mojo does worldwide, I think.
Yeah.
They do combined.
They do, yeah, I think they do everything.
Yes.
Yeah,
okay.
All right.
So Toy Story 3, $415 million. That's the number three. Frozen, $400 million.
Wait. Is Shrek the second, the highest grossing?
Highest gross in terms of lifetime gross, $441 million.
Oh, I thought you were going 5-1. You're going 1-5.
My bad.
Oh, my gosh.
And then Finding Nemo is $380 million.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Toy Story 3.
Great movies.
Shrek the Second is not that great. I like Finding Nemo over that.
Shrek the Second is great.
I would pick Lion King over any of those.
Can anyone guess what the biggest opening weekend of any animated movie was?
Oh gosh, it's got to be like Toy Story 3.
That would be my guess.
Shrek the Third.
$121 million.
What?
Well, and then that probably took like a 70% drop.
Exactly.
Yeah, because it was awful.
Because it's so terrible.
It's so bad. Toy Story 3 is the second, actually, and it had 110.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So, I mean, that is a high quality film. That movie's so good.
Really is.
Awesome.
So, great question. I love it.
That was a good question this week. Good week, good work, gentlemen. You guys got all top five.
Yeah.
With a little help, but you guys were there.
With a little help. We had to work through it. If you'd like to help Andrew with his trivia questions, you should email him at kinginthenorth52@gmail.com. If you'd like to follow us on Twitter, you should
do it at
@brothers_geek@twitter.com.
Do it.
You should visit us on the website for all of your
answers to the universe.
All the answers or the website brothersgeek.com for all the website
to
and
all the universal questions.
Download us on iTunes, go ahead and give us a review and rate us with some stars on iTunes.
I would like that also. That would
maybe
be
all the stars, not just some.
Give us all the stars.
Yeah, all the stars.
All of the stars.
We love making podcasts for you. Tell us how much you love to listen to them.
We love making podcasts for ourselves.
You can do like Sean is doing also and comment on each episode.
Please
come and comment. We like that.
Yeah. We like constructive criticism is all welcome.
Thank you, Sean. Sorry we went over an hour. All right.
We have a lot to say.
We limited our spoilers this week, too.
We did. We are listening
that's,
to the feed.
That, I think that's going to be a fluctuating – that's a moving target for us.
Moving target.
Yep.
Because some things we just got to spoil. It's just the way it is.
We want to get to deep conversation
deep,
here. This is – yeah.
Yep.
All right. Thank you all for listening. See you
all
right. next
bye
time.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Good night, guys. Good night.
My Little Pony.